Like the salamander, he also looked ragged. His armor was broken, held together by field repairs, and, Sebaton suspected, sheer will. He was hard to focus on, blending well with the shadows, and although a loom strip buzzed and crackled overhead, the warrior's power armor reflected no light. 19th Legion, Raven Guard. This one also gave off an aura. Like new like. Sebaton realized this was the Psyker that had addressed him earlier. The salamander nodded to his brother in arms.
There were four men also, offered Sebaton, hoping his unprompted show of cooperation would improve his chances of survival. He had to get away from here, double back somehow, and retrieve what he had taken from the catacombs.
Dead too.
You know the manner of what is hunting you? Asked the salamander.
I do.
Then you'll also know how much danger you're in.
Painfully so, yes.
What do you know about why the word-bearers are here?
Nothing. The salamander turned. The Raven Guard slowly shook his head, prompting his flame-eyed comrade to bear down on Sebaton again.
Don't lie to me.
It's the truth. I have no idea what they want, or you for that matter. That was bold. A little foolish, too.
Well, said the salamander, unhitching the clasps around his helmet. That's easy to answer, he added, removing it and revealing a face as black as jet, with two burning orbs for eyes. Even the picked captures as part of his data inload had not prepared Sebaton for this, and he balked.
I want to know everything you know, the salamander said. And I want to know it right now.
Something had happened to these warriors, something that had changed them deeply.
Who are you? What are you even doing here?
I warned you once not to ask questions.
Somewhat forbiddingly, the salamander stepped back and gestured to his comrade.
Hriak!
Without seemingly moving, the Psyker was upon him. Close up, Sebaton could see he wore a tattered grey cloak over his power armor and had a fetish of avian bone attached to the nose cone of his helmet. Definitely one of the Raven Guard. Several of the legions wore black, but a closer look had confirmed it. Legionary Psyker, known as a librarian. They were supposed to have been forbidden in the legions, but evidently circumstances had forced that particular edict into repeal. In the Raven Guard's outstretched hand, Sebaton could see a thunderhead of dark lightning. It was raging, the force of a storm held in his palm. Incredible! The sheer will required for that level of mastery. When Sebaton realized it was about to be unleashed on him, he flinched, but a steel-fingered hand held him fast. It was a bionic. He could hear the machine parts grinding as they flexed and bit hard into his shoulder.
Take it easy. I'm not a threat, said Sebaton.
We know, uttered the warrior behind him, the one who spoke with the strange machine-like cant. If you were, said the salamander, you'd already be dead. And should you prove to be after Hriak has scryed you, I'll have Domados pull out your spine.
Sebaton didn't doubt it. Domados was 10th Legion, Iron Hands. They weren't known for their compassion. His presence raised further questions. All three legionaries came from forces that had been nearly destroyed on Istvan V. Yet here they were, together, allied to some common cause. Sebaton suspected it might be the desire for revenge.
We got off to a poor start, I think, he said. There's no need for any of this.
Your demands fall on deaf ears, Hriak rasped.
It sounded like some old injury was marring his speech, but Sebaton couldn't see what because the warrior was wearing his helmet. His voice put Sebaton in mind of a cold wind rustling through dry leaves, of a dead and desolate winter and bones lying under the snow. A moment later, and the lightning touched against Sebaton's forehead.
Fire, cold and terrible, burned him. It hollowed Sebaton out, tendrils of flame worming into him, slowly unpicking the mental barriers he had erected to protect himself from incursion. Deeper it went, spreading out, searching. His mind was a labyrinth, but this was a legion psyker, and he moved swiftly through the contours of it on feathered wings. He thought of the drowned boy, his pale face lurking under the water. Hryak's voice penetrated the memory, a distant echo on the horizon that filled the sky with the promise of rain.
He's hiding something.
Sebaton was standing at the edge of the drainage basin, a hook and net in his hand, ready to scavenge. He rooted himself to that spot like an anchor in time and replayed it over and over. Stepping into the water, feeling the brush of fingernails against his naked skin, the burn as they gripped, the five red wheels left behind, a hand grasping, entreating another child to come down into the water and join the rest of the damned. Lightning split the sky, dark and forbidding. Standing ankle-deep in the murky water, Sebaton sheltered his eyes, but the storm continued to rage behind them.
"Do not resist,"
bellowed the thunder. Sebaton held on just as the drowned boy clung to his ankle. He groaned, "Let me go." His voice, that of a child's and an adult's at the same time as two realities collided. "Please."
"Let him go."
The voice was distant at first, recalling Sebaton from the brink of unconsciousness. The pain abated. His eyes opened again, but the sense of violation remained. The librarian, Hryak, was standing in front of him. The dark lightning had gone from his hand.
He hissed. "He's a psyker, Leodrak."
So that was the salamander's name then, Sebaton assumed.
"What did you find, Hryak?"
asked Domados.
"Despite trying to obfuscate it with some childhood trauma, he is not who he claims to be. He found something in some ruins, in a sector of the city far from here. But I don't think he has it anymore."
Leodrak changed places with Hryak to continue the interrogation.
"Those traitors are here for a dark purpose. For some reason, they were also looking for you. Now,"
he said, raising his bolter so Sebaton was staring down its ugly black maw,
"I will ask you one final time. Who are you, and what are you doing in Ranos?"
Sebaton realized then that the situation he was in was much graver than it had first appeared. He hadn't been rescued. He had simply traded one potential captor for another. These warriors were loyal servants of the Emperor, but something had broken inside them. They were verging on desperate, even fatalistic, wounded, and not only physically. They were the kind of scars that would never heal, like the five tiny marks on Sebaton's leg.